Now, the shotgun start in golf is full of mathematics. There's a lot of setup work that we have to do in order to make a tournament work. So I'm going to demonstrate to you just exactly how we do a shotgun start here.
And here we go.
All right, all right, all right. Gentlemen, start your
greetings and welcome to a Monday edition of the Shotgun Start. It is March 11th. Andy, how we doing?
Brendan, it is a it's an odd victory Monday, but it's a victory Monday. I knocked down the 2-hour drive. No problems.
No problems?
Yeah, it was smooth as silk.
You went to a place, you almost drove us into the port. That is Port Rush.
I forgot about that.
Like straight into the water. Blew right through.
We weren't even close.
Blew right through pavement that said no entry. You drove down. All of a sudden, you are like at the railing of the port. There's a walkway. It's not for cars. I was like, oh shit, how are we going to back this up?
You thought that was the right way to go too. You were an accomplice to what you're talking about. You're
I
not,
told you.
There's blood on your hands.
We
as
went
well.
To the Giants Causeway too. I said, you're not supposed to go down this road. You know, so we went down some dead end road. We ended up, you know, with some sort of private. You did well. But without problems or without issue, I think is where I might quibble. But you did great. You had daylight, you had mostly highway, and we kind of sped
cruised,
through, right?
Cruised. It was
any challenges?
I looked like a seasoned vet out there driving on the left side.
Well, now you're getting in the right lane to pass. You were very just mystified by the fast lanes on the right side.
Yeah.
I guess this would make sense. That, you know, everything's reversed, and you're flying by, getting out in that right lane, flying by people on the Irish highway. So, a good day, nonetheless. Besides, I thought we were in trouble there when the car was sliding down towards the waterfront and the railing.
It wasn't sliding.
Oh, come on.
You're saying you got to turn around. I'm like, I can back this right up. Backed it right out of there.
But you did well. You did well. Good job. Good job by you. We'll get to a full weekend in golf. We're now in Port Rush, Northern Ireland. We'll talk a little bit about that a little bit. But let's start with a shotgun start regular, an original. We've got a toasty tail coming across our desk.
Mr. Alejandro Toasty.
You know, it's been a few weeks since we had a toasty tail.
He's been out on tour.
Sony
He's
Open.
Been dazzling people.
His Instagram's incredible. Doing all these different yoga exercises with shirtless, calling birds to his shoulder, all sorts of stuff. But here's a toasty tail. Toasty down at the Puerto Rico Open. It's a first-hand account. The sun was setting fast on Friday as a long weather delay in the first round of the Puerto Rico Open had pushed tee times back by an hour. Toasty's group, consisting of veteran Eric Barnes, who is in a playoff as we record this.
Oh, God, he
he's
got
in a playoff.
The gauntlet.
Incredible.
He
came out of the toasty. They both looks like they're parring to death the first playoff holes as we record this. But Eric Barnes playing with Toasty. This is Friday afternoon. Consisting of veteran Eric Barnes and Q School grad Trace Crow, knew they would be close to not finishing by the time they had arrived to the 13th tee. Number 13 at Rio Grande in Puerto Rico is a 410-yard dogleg left with ocean water all down the left side, connecting to a small river that cuts in front of the green. Most players hit less than driver off the tee. Toasty, along with his second caddy of the week, still circumstances around what happened to the first one.
So, well, it sounds like he's been shuffling through caddies.
Okay.
He might be on caddy number 3 of the year already.
I'm not going to get into the scuttlebutt, but it seems like the first one was removed potentially. Not necessarily by Toasty.
From the week.
Removed from competition for some indiscretion or something. Some sort of scuttlebutt. I don't know what happened. But second caddy,
wow.
Third caddy.
Talk about an unsubstantiated rumor.
Yeah, super unsubstantiated. That's just the circumstances of why he was on his second caddy for the week are unclear. But he's on his second caddy. So Toasty, with this hole watered all down the right, chose 2-iron and pole hooked his tee shot into the water. The pair walked immediately to an area. So this is Toasty and his caddy, to an area about 200 yards from the tee. And Toasty said to Barnes, who was in lockstep with the fiery Argentinian, something to the effect of, "It crossed here." Barnes looked down at the diminutive rookie and replied, "No effing way." When Toasty looked at the third member of the group for his opinion on where the ball crossed, Crow, who has dealt with Toasty at extensive times on the KFT, having been a KFT veteran or player last year, simply said, "Alejandro, don't start this shit." Hilarious stuff. A guy who knows the Toasty oeuvre. The Toastmaster was visibly burnt, really hot about his playing partners jamming him. Those are my terms, not the email. But he must have realized his normal routine of calling a rules official and arguing for 20 minutes would prevent the group and everyone, because they're racing darkness behind them, from finishing, because he reluctantly stomped back another 100 yards to drop, forcing him to lay up in the fairway instead of going for the green. He proceeded to make double and missed the cut by two. The field was protected. There were multiple club slams, Spanish cursing throughout both days.
Had to have set him off.
And one of the rules officials, who are never far away from the Toastmaster right now, was actually seen taking notes of him at one point. So he's just got an individual scout, apparently, following him around taking notes.
He's being monitored.
On the PGA Tour, fines are passed out quickly for conduct unbecoming. Typically, after three or four fines, you're at $20,000 a pop. Then they double for every fine thereafter. So you might as well be sticking money in a toaster oven when you act like a child. And we know Toasty doesn't like to spend money.
Toasty might be negative money on the year.
With the fines and the travel costs and all that stuff. He's not. Well, he missed his cut here. But I just love the thought of him trying to get an extra 100-some yards off this pull hook. Eric Barnes, who's in a playoff now for the title, say no effing way. And Trace Crow, who's familiar, "Alejandro, don't start this shit." And Toasty, just knowing the racing darkness, "I'm not going to even do it. We'll walk back and do it." And it sounds like he was in rare form with his usual antics. So that's your Toasty tale to lead off your Monday and warm your heart, hopefully, to get with some toastiness to get your week going. Should we proceed to golf?
Yeah, we should. Do you want to talk about Mateo Manassero, your guy? You know, you're getting back into the winner's circle. Or talk about the world number one dominating.
I would talk about Mateo. We were just at the pub in Port Rush. So I was like, Manassero won. You immediately started laughing at me. He was just going to lead the podcast. My guy, it's been 11 years. Wins on the DP World Tour.
It's always 11
years. Johnson Workwear.
I feel like he's won 10 times since we started this podcast. And every time it's been 11 years since he last won. If you ask me how many times Manassero's won over the last 5 years of this podcast, I would say probably four times.
Am I really that big a Manassero fanatic?
Yeah, every time you bring up the same thing about him.
He won. Good for him. The boy wonder once time. So good for him. We should talk about Scottie Scheffler winning at the Arnold Palmer Invitational presented by MasterCard at Bay Hill, or whatever the official title is, signature event, making some good money. Not sure that was the priority, but Scheffler, dominant, gets the putter going, strokes gain, tee to green. The tee to green game is what it is. What?
Manassero?
Yeah.
How many wins he has in the last, since this podcast started?
How many?
He's got four.
Are they all challenge tour kind of things?
I think so.
Alps Tour? I think he went on the Alps Tour. I definitely got an Alps Tour shout out to Mateo, I feel like.
2023, he won the Italian Challenge Open.
Okay, I remember that.
He won the Copenhagen Challenge.
Sure.
God, he just wins in great places to vacation. Maybe that's the key to Manassero.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Let's see. Then he won in 2020. He won during COVID year.
I think that was Alps. Could be wrong, though. Alps Tour.
Alps Open.
There you go. So
he's winning in all the vacation spots. Where was this year? This week? It was
Johnson
South Africa?
Johnson Workwear. I want to say that sounds South
Johannesburg,
Africa.
Maybe?
It sounds South Africa. Yeah.
I think it was Johannesburg.
Yeah. Glendower Golf Club. I don't know where that is. So... I don't know why we're talking about this.
Well, we got
South Africa.
We got on the Manassero.
There we go. We did end up doing it.
Do you think Manassero's ready to challenge Scheffler for world number one now?
No, but at another time, he could have been Scottie Scheffler. And another time, he did, Quitman kind of jammed him, I think.
270-yard poop falls.
Scottie Scheffler wins by 5 over Wyndham Clark at the Bay Hill Invitational. A dominant, dominant performance. It felt like we could have a great Sunday, a great signature Sunday. Make no mistake about it. The world number one player winning is a good result for the PGA Tour. They needed something. But you had a lot of full-time cleanup hitters kind of lurking. You had Will Zalatoris on his comeback. You had Wyndham Clark, Shane Lowry, the secretary of MasterCard or something, the friends of MasterCard. But you had some real
friends of MasterCard exemption.
Rory, you had Sahith, just like what a potential and sort of a clustered leaderboard, potential for a good Sunday. But nonetheless, Scottie Scheffler on Bay Hill, when you know Bay Hill is not easy. It was a windy weekend. It's always set up a little tougher. Rough, a lot of rough, but he shot 66.
How about that Hideki shot today?
It's a little
And here's a caveat. I don't know what America saw versus what we saw.
We got a lot.
I assume we saw a lot more shots than what America saw.
Yeah.
So apologies if you missed the Hideki shot where he tried to chip out and couldn't chip it out.
It's unbelievable just how fast the broadcast moves. Just you feel like you just don't feel like you're being tortured for hours. It just moves. It might take the same amount of time. The round is still the round, but it feels like you are just being engaged and it moves
faster. You know why?
Faster. Yeah.
Because you're actually like in the flow of the tournament.
Yeah. You got boom, boom, boom. Sky. I guess that's what it is. Sky.
It's like, you know, when I come in to the house and my wife's watching like some reality TV show, I'm like, when's this thing going to be over?
Yeah. Well, you get a Larry David or something, a Curb Your Enthusiasm.
And it's over in a second.
Yeah, that's true. It makes sense. Scheffler wins by 5. Let's talk about it. He gained 4+ strokes or something on the greens today. A lot of, like, he was in the positive for the event.
Fifth in the field. So okay. 60 or whatever, however many players made the cut. What was it? 54 players. They cut 15?
11. I think they cut 11.
58. Oh, yeah. Who finished? God, Siwoo Kim lost 8.6 shots on the greens.
Siwoo? Why are you so amused? You're dying over there.
I mean, that's a lot.
He's going to break his putter. Like, yeah.
He's got the long putter, too.
He does. I know.
He lost 9 shots on the... I feel like that's like really bad.
It is. It's not a good situation. Looks like the tank came in last. You can't get... Yeah, septic
he
tank.
He finished 3 shots worse than the next best guy. I mean, God...
As Shane Bacon tweeted, I think, on Friday, there was potential that 4 or 5 guys were going to be cut.
What are they doing? What what is going on?
Silly. 69 players, no alternates. Apparently, Andrew Novak had a locker or something. They thought he was going to be in, and they missed. I don't know. Publish that. That just sounds like a... Scheffler, let's get to it. He's an execution master. Bay Hill is some place that kind of demands that, for better or worse, and he just does it. He gets plus four. It was just short of 4. Now, as I look at it, that could be from he bombs one in on 14. You know, he gains strokes there, but I don't know. Did he use the mallet? You know, you got Rory suggesting use a mallet. He puts the mallet in play. Sort of a self sabotage move by Rory there, but
What a nice guy to do that.
Yeah, altruistic fellow there. It's an impressive performance. Like Scotty in the tournament.
Alarming is like, is that the nudge? Has somebody asked? I don't think anybody's asked Scotty about that. But was Rory the nudge? What was he doing? No. He's been beating his head against the wall for like a year with the putter. He didn't try anything new.
I'm sure he did. I'm sure he dabbled, maybe just not in view of a camera. He shuffled coaches or brought in Phil Kenyon.
Saw him on the putting green for hours.
Right.
At a time, every tournament.
Right, hours. Where
he's probably good at putting now. You know, he's probably a lot of practice.
No. I mean, this could just be a 1 week, a 1 day thing. It was refreshing to see him win.
If you were going to build a golf course for Scottie Scheffler, this would be the golf course. It is a pure execution test. It is hit the ball here, hit the ball there for 18 straight holes. And if you don't hit the ball there or here, you are going to be penalized very severely by extraordinarily thick rough. This golf course is tailor-made for Scottie Scheffler. I think he played great. He putted great. I'm excited to see what happens with the putter. If this is like, it doesn't have to be, it just has to be average. You know, if he was zero, he still wins this tournament.
Yeah.
The thing is, the difference between this week and other weeks is usually he's been losing two shots to the field. And if he loses two shots to the field and say gaining four, like he did this week, or he's then, you know, he finishes third. So I think it's super exciting. He's obviously been hitting the ball at a prolific level for a long time. That has been beaten into the ground. Like everybody's talking about how well he's hitting the ball. Historic tee to green. If he putts average, if this is the start, he doesn't have to putt like he putted. If he putts like he putted this week, he's going to win a lot of golf tournaments. But if he putts average, he's going to win a ton.
It felt a little bit like he couldn't putt that poorly. That level of shittiness or poor form felt unsustainable. I'm not suggesting he would become good. But for it to be that bad felt like it couldn't be,
yeah,
couldn't stay that way for that long, or at least every single week. But it kind of was that way, really, dating back to probably a full calendar year, kind of getting into about this time last year, that it really started to become a glaring issue, it felt like. So it wasn't sustainable. It caught up to even, and even better than even this week. And I don't know, it felt like a win the PGA Tour needed. They needed a number one player in the world type person to win. They did not need, not to put any other prior winners down this year, but they needed something.
You didn't
like
want
this.
Pavon?
No.
He got knocked out of the... How about we have symmetry?
What? We've number one?
Number one in the world golf rankings and number one in the FedEx Cup. That doesn't happen very often.
He's putting the cardigan on. Second time he's had donned the famous cardigan of Arnold Palmer. This is as far as jackets and cardigans and trophies go, it's not a bad one. It's got some.
Would you wear that?
Originality to it.
I could see you wearing that.
I don't know if I should take that as a compliment or a rip job. What do you? I mean, why could you see me wearing that?
I could see you wearing it.
I don't have a lot of cardigans. Have come back a little bit.
They are. They're way back.
With hipsters and the like.
They might be passed back. They might be
on
like,
the way back down.
Yeah, I feel like they were back like 10 years ago.
That's true. Whatever. I guess I could wear it. Sure.
Listen, but. I don't like doing any of these comparisons, but he did it at a course that Tiger kind of dominated at. Today was very Tiger-like.
Okay.
I do not like to use these. Everybody just didn't do anything.
It's like comparing Harold Miner to Michael Jordan.
Yeah, it is. It feels like that. But like, you know how Tiger would be, it would be Sunday, and it's like, why is, you'd be like, it's like that gif of poking somebody, like, do something.
Yeah.
Like, nobody did anything all day. Everybody was stuck in mud, and he made it look so easy. I mean, I think the low round of the day
was his 66, yeah. Right? There were a couple 68s early. Sahith was one.
I think that was the low round of the tournament.
Yeah, maybe. Which is a separate issue with Bay Hill.
What's wrong with Bay Hill?
I don't know. I like that it punches guys. It forces guys to actually play a little bit. Or I don't know. It punches guys in the face. But it gets... It prevents really any big run typically, right? Given the often the wind, the rough, the lurking hazards on, you know, ubiquitous almost every hole. So yeah, it prevents sort of a big run. And certainly when you have someone like, maybe it rewards the right skills, or the right skill set. I really like the event. Like, it's got history. We've been having this amusing hypothetical here in Ireland about, like, what if you took someone from one of these Irish clubs or a Scottish club?
We talked about if you took a Royal County Down member, which Royal County Down's like in the most mesmerizing sand dunes.
Never
played anywhere but Royal County.
Say it's
County
the Mourne Golf Club, yeah, which is the local club that gets access to Royal County Down. Probably never been out of the country, maybe. In this hypothetical, not been out of the country.
And you take that person and you give them a plane ticket. We're paying for your plane ticket. We're paying for your round and hotel. We're flying you to Bay Hill. And just see what they think of golf there.
They would think it was a different sport, probably, right?
Yeah.
Or they'd landed on a different planet. Yeah. Just like putzing up the rough.
God, the Aeon stuff is insane. You know, the Aeon
We're all over the place. Yeah. Yeah.
They did the one on 11 today.
Right. Water left. It can leak into that water.
And they're like talking about laying up, which people do. And then
tough hole.
And then it describes the next one as the better decision, and it's a dead straight driver. It's like, so no shit, driver. No shit. If you hit a driver down the middle of the fairway, it's a better decision.
Where they get in trouble with that thing is the label better decision.
Better decision.
Like, you can label green, yellow, red. Like, red is the water. Oh, yeah, well, that makes sense. But, like, saying the better decision to hammer a driver down the middle of the fairway is, like, the way it's presented is,
oh, if you just hit the driver down the middle, it's a better decision than laying up.
They did it for 14, too. Thank 14 you. Is, like, middle. Or middle pin high is better than missing short side. This is the better decision. I was like, what?
The better decision.
You mean the better result? I think it's the better result.
Short siding yourself.
Result seems like the right term, but you can't. Yeah. Ridiculous. So, anything else on Scotty while we're here? Then we're good.
Yeah. I mean, like, I think this is a big win.
Is it? Seventh win. He's won at a lot of primo events.
I'm saying it's a big win for golf.
Tour, yeah.
For just golf in general, we need superstars to win stuff in the lead up for the Masters. There needs to be juice. And finally, we can say, hey, guess what? Scottie Scheffler's the favorite for the Masters. It is very clear. Remember last year when we had Rory going into the year. Everybody's like, Rory's the best player in the world.
Beat Reed in Dubai early and, you know, yeah, had a little bit of fun.
Then we had the Rahm stuff. We had the Scheffler stuff. And in the lead into the Masters was freaking awesome. Yeah. Because and then you had Koepka winning the week before.
Crooked Cat.
Yeah, Crooked Cat. This year, it's been like, okay, let's talk about Joaquin Niemann, who's never had a top 10 in a major. That's who we've had to talk about. It's honestly been the only, like, playing great story other than Wyndham Clark winning again.
I think Bryson's playing well, but, like, we don't really know necessarily. If that's major championship, I don't know. So, yeah, you're right. It's a little bit of juice. A little bit of juice going into the Players' Championship as well, the fifth major.
Do you think he's going to go back-to-back? That'd be a first ever back.
How about our one and done picks? I picked Scotty and then pulled off of it. Like, oh, that's a bad week to do it. And I put Jason Day in. I'm kicking myself.
I took Zalatoris.
Yeah, that was a good pick.
Great pick. I thought it looked like he was going to win.
It did at one point. Yeah, it could go back to back. Feels like it. It's a weaker field, thinner field, right? You're missing some guys.
Definitely not the strongest field in golf.
You're missing some guys. Yeah. They can't claim that anymore, Players' Championship. We'll have
absolutely
more players
can.
College. Yeah. What's Jay going to say on Wednesday?
Oh, God.
We'll have more Tuesday.
I can't wait, actually.
Our fans, I think we got to him. I think he's put fans now. Our fans, most importantly, our fans, then our players, our sponsors, our partners, and our players, or whatever he says. I think he's moved fans up the ranking. So, all right, I think that does it for Scheffler. We have plenty more Bay Hill nuggets, but to depart far as possible from that kind of golf, we got to talk to you about Ireland and our early travels. If you're interested in going to making an Irish golf trip of your own, you could visit ireland.com/golf. Hopefully, if Andy can get acquit himself well to driving, I have faith that you can too, because I saw him as his low, dire moments early on, like Scotty when he's losing 8 strokes on the green, early on in that airport garage, driving to Port Marnock, going up on curbs to drop, just avoid trucks that are nowhere near the center line. I saw you in your lowest moment. If he can do it and he's got himself there,
you know what?
You can come to Ireland and easily acquit yourself.
I bet Scotty's just like me. I can't wait to drive again.
You are.
I'm excited. I want the keys. I bet Scotty's like, I can't wait to putt now. That's what happens when you get better at stuff.
Yeah.
You can't wait to putt. Same thing happens when you travel. When you go abroad, you're like, God, this is amazing. Why haven't I been over here in a couple of years? Like, why haven't I traveled to a new place in a couple of years?
I've kind of been like that way with a little bit of my short game this week. I've made a lot of good short shots.
Yeah, you have.
Some bad ones. You know what I've been thinking about was that thing you said in Jupiter where, like, throwing bags, bean bags, like the shoulders through it. So I'm like looking forward to some of those shots. It's been fun. I mean, I'm still hitting a bunch of shitty ones, but like, I feel like I've hit a bunch of good ones. It's such a good feeling. You want them again.
I feel like once you figure out your short game technique, there's nothing more fun than when you see your ball on like some short turf.
Yeah.
And it's like an exciting shot.
Yep. And this is some of the best turf. In the world. It's been it's been great. We've had some good weather. We've had some true Irish March weather. And you know what?
Did you think we were going to make it around Ardglass? We got out of the car at Ardglass. It's like 43 and blown 40 off the sea.
I had
Can
some
we talk
thoughts.
About the sea?
Just generally?
I feel like I look at a map and I'm like, well, how is this a sea and not just the Atlantic Ocean? I don't understand what qualifies a sea versus the ocean.
I gotcha. Irish Sea is between Ireland and Scotland. So it's technically not the ocean anymore. The North Sea is technically between whatever, Scotland and, I don't know, Scandinavia or something.
We don't do this with other stuff. It's not like Bermuda.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Do they do this with Hawaii, like in between the islands? Are all those names?
What's the Gulf of Mexico? Is that supposed to be the Atlantic Ocean?
But then in between the islands in the Gulf, there's no little seas.
Islands is, now you're picking nits. Now you're like really getting a little too micro. We're talking about pretty sizable countries that are islands, like Ireland, Scotland. You were flummoxed. You know what this comes down to? You not knowing what body of water and just trying to simplify your life and say that's the Atlantic Ocean every time you look out the window.
I just feel like every time I'm like, is that the North Sea? They're like, no, that's not. Like, I'm never right. I'm never, ever right. The same thing happened in Scotland. Yeah. It's like, what body of water
is that? The fourth or whatever it is. Yeah.
So I just would like to say that's the Atlantic Ocean. You're not wrong if you say that, right?
I think you could be wrong. If it's the Irish Sea, I think you're on the wrong side. I don't think that's the Atlantic Ocean. So, I mean, you're starting to get...
How... I don't know.
What? So if you want to come to Ireland, you fly into Dublin. You're right there against the Irish Sea pretty quickly. You go up north. We're in Northern Ireland. We get to Newcastle in about an hour and a half. Andy, like, I'm going to write some of this up. We're doing some journals. You're going to write up. We got explorations going hot. What?
I think we were on the Atlantic Ocean today. I'm doing some research.
We're north now. Giant's
North, North Atlantic Ocean.
Yes, yes. Because it's not, we're north now.
But I don't understand how the other part's not that.
Well, I mean, when does the Atlantic Ocean become the Arctic Ocean?
Well, that's a great question.
You know?
That is an amazing question.
So, like, you just got to kind of be a little loose with the...
Maybe we should just call all the water the ocean.
Yeah, we could just do that. One big ocean. It's all connected anyways.
Because the Indian and the Atlantic are connected, and the Indian and the Pacific are connected.
That's fair. They are. They are.
And the Pacific and the Atlantic's connected.
What's been your favorite part of Ireland?
Other than talking about seas?
Yeah.
I mean, Roe County Down, unbelievable.
Yep.
I mean,
it's good.
We played the short course, the Ansley course today.
You're going to have some writing on this. Check it. We're going to have an explorations podcast. We're letting takes fly over there. We real insight over there, hopefully.
That place is unbelievable.
The short course.
Yeah.
And the wee course, as they call it.
Oh, you know, I don't want to give away all my takes here.
No,
we
don't.
We haven't recorded.
Just give us the summation or give us the one take. I mean,
it's like an amazing piece of ground. So it's, but it's probably a lot of the dunes would be too severe to have full regulation golf holes on them. They're very choppy. And there's just so many cool short par fours. We played a 5-club skins game.
Awesome.
And the weather was
terrible.
It was tough, but I loved it. They're tiny greens. You got to be golfing your ball to play well there. And that short course should be replicated way more than just the par three little 50-yard wedge shots.
Short course, kind of short course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because there's actual variety and you get better at more than just wedges by playing them. Like if you were a kid, if there was a 6-hole version of that, it'd be better than all these just 80-yard par three courses that everybody's obsessed with building right now. Because you can hit multiple shots. You can hit different clubs in your bag.
Don't give them all away. Don't give it. Don't give it all away. It was great. It was an amazing day. The one thing that's impressed upon me is this trip feels readily attainable as long as you just don't think you need to come to Ireland and play
everywhere,
every course.
That's the same thing.
This is a great trip. You take a trip for work that's to the West Coast of the United States for a day or two because it's war. You fly far. This is the same amount of flying. You could do this for 4 days. It's totally attainable. You could go play arguably number one place course in the world. If you're planned and committed in advance, you play Royal Port Rush, play Hourglass. We've got a bunch of good other insights. We're trying to find some good hidden gems, other stuff. I've been charmed by Newcastle. We were out last night.
What a scene.
You were loving it.
It was amazing. You
had a shitting grin on your face. These are all these Irish songs I've heard forever, kind of growing up a little bit in the scene. But everybody had fun. It was great. Newcastle, we were charmed by that. And that is no bullshit. It was a great, great little town that you can get a lot of, see some different culture and enjoy yourself while playing great golf. So anyways, trip seems attainable. Go to ireland.com/golf. What else you got on Bay Hill? Wyndham Clark cheating, pushing, mashing down the rough Saturday night. Did he get just desserts here today without being able to contend? A lot of fury on Twitter about it.
There needs to be a memo sent out to the PGA Tour because, listen, all these guys are doing the mash.
They all are. We get messages every day of people. I think somebody sent us one of, I don't want to, if I'm not certain, I don't want to throw a guy under the bus, but they're all doing it. They're all doing it.
And the memo needs to read, you cannot just slam your club into the ground. You're basically testing your lie.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what they're doing. They just want to see where the bottom is. You just have to handle the lie with care. I ground my club, but I don't know. It's hard. The line between grounding and mashing is hard, but that one felt like a mash.
And you know that's not going to be enforced, and you know intent is hard to discern.
Well, so that's why this intent...
The line is going
to
be pushed.
That's why the referees need to be referees. I know everybody, oh, it's an honor game, and...
They work for the players.
Guess what? You know, when you're playing for $4 million to the winner, honor goes out the window.
Yeah. So that was a big one.
Across the board honor. There are still some honorable people.
Yeah.
Like when Westy didn't take the drop at Port Rush.
we'll go to the scene. Are you going to put a makeshift plaque in the ground there tomorrow when we go by?
What hole is it on, like 14 or 15?
I think it was that on the left there. Yeah. Here's where Westy refused to be a scumbag and try to edge his way into a drop that might have been questionable.
The times on Westy
to hold on to.
The times like that on Westy Island were so good then. It was prosperous.
It's kind of petered out there. So what else, Bay Hill? Rory went out or came home in 30 yesterday. Lowest, I think, 9-hole score, then didn't play great today.
It was a classic. If you could have put those two nines together, classic 71.
Rory? Yeah.
30-41.
No. He didn't go out for it. 30 yesterday.
I know. I'm saying if you could put the back nine with
back
that.
Nine, front nine today. Yeah.
That would have been like a classic a good player at a club score.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God.
That's why you're not on. That's why you're a good player here and you can win a match. Yeah. I couldn't believe they kept showing his every shot on the way in. He's 15 shots behind, 9, 10 shots behind. It's like I always say, it's like when they have a Cowboys-Giants game scheduled for Sunday Night Football in like week 18. And they're both, you know, it's a big market team. It's like, this doesn't matter to the playoffs or the win, but they kept showing his every shot.
Do you feel like he needs to notch one strong showing before the Masters? I mean, he's playing a bunch.
Kind of. It feels like it. I think like that 30 is in there, clearly. He's not like lost, but he's not sharp. Somewhere in between there. Does that feel good? Feel proper?
Yeah,
I think he probably to feel encouraged or enthused for the Masters needs a pretty strong contending result or week. Would you agree?
Yeah, I think it's we've seen him have different aspects of the game click, but they just all haven't come together. I mean, you saw it with Scheffler this week. I mean, granted, his off the tee and approach has been clicking for like 18 months,
right?
But the putting finally came together. I think it's just, I mean, you want to. Ideally, you want to play your best golf the week of the Masters. So I do think like some of this like rounding, like you don't necessarily want to be playing great in February, understanding the game and how it works.
Yep.
So maybe things just get a little bit tighter. It seems like there's been a lot of sloppy mistakes just with like, you know, hazard balls and making like doubles or triples like at Spyglass, and you know, so it'll be
what else? The Lowry exemption, did you have a lot of objection to that? Shane Lowry, this quote, he's like,
I mean, I have an objection, says it. I have an objection about sponsors exemptions, so yeah,
people apparently were worked up about this. Maybe Joel Beal tweeted he had heard from more people about that than any, or he had just heard from a lot of people worked up
players.
I don't know who it was. Just people were, I don't even know if it was Beal. I forget. I saw it somewhere on the road driving through Ireland. But I think it was because he kind of came out and said it in a way that just allowed people to pounce. It's like, I've gotten to really know the people at MasterCard. And it's just sort of a smoking gun.
This is the way this works.
I know.
Was it a coincidence that Maverick McNeely, who's an AT&T guy,
I have
got a sponsor exemption into Pebble Beach?
And Lowry's one that I like don't have a problem with as a sponsor's exemption, right? I mean, he's like a pretty good he's a tour player. He's a good tour player. He's won a major. Like, I don't have a big problem. It was just kind of the quote. Like, this is not why anyone should get anything. Give it to him for anything else, for a reason. But it's just, it's sort of laid bare, the system, when you can't even get 70 guys. And you're, anyways. Anything else from Bay Hill? Are these the worst bunkers on tour? A lot of contention that we ran into a greenskeeper or grounds.
Just because the ball plugs.
They plug.
You know what? They're a hazard. They're a hazard. It's about time somewhere has a hazard.
I guess it would be more palatable if there weren't also water hazards on every hole. You know?
The golf course is comically bad.
These guys cannot. It's just they can't get them right, or at least to prevent the plugging.
How about Todd Watch?
He came in hot. Cisco's own. Cisco at, boy. Todd Watch. What did he finish at?
He finished six. Zalatoris, another impressive week from him. I think just...
Did he figure out his putting stuff?
I don't know.
I don't know. It's the right answer. I think
that is still to be determined. He's so good when it's 15 feet, and it's so just. It leaves you a lot of anxiety when it's like 6 feet still.
Yep. Cleaning up tour stuff. Any reaction to sort of the push or the language, the rhetoric this week that the tour needs to become more cutthroat? Rory put it out there. I think Wyndham Clark quickly boosted that or supported that. He said it would be kind of interesting and cool if the tour was only 100 players.
I mean, I would love that.
I think figuring out if it was, about this for years on this, right? Getting lean and mean, getting
competitive.
Yeah.
The relegation would be insane. I mean, if you look at this field right now, and I don't think this is like, but think about who would be in jeopardy of being like relegated right now.
Are you looking at FedEx Cup points?
I'm just looking at that as a proxy.
Yeah.
I mean, Victor Hovland's 64th in FedEx Cup points. Rory's 67. I mean, this would be it'd be awesome.
Yeah.
To have, it's like 25 guys that are just gone. I think that
it would add a lot more stakes to these.
Every event would matter. Yeah. Every event would have context.
Like an F1 race or whatever. Like every event, I guess not every event, but you know what I mean? Every week there's a lot of on the line. Listen,
this is what, you got to get all the best players back together. That's...
Of course.
Can we just do that first?
Live Hong Kong.
Can we just get... We haven't even talked about Live Hong Kong.
I've got it. Yeah.
But can we just get all the best players playing together and then have really strict relegation? Is it hard?
Yeah, probably.
I thought Eamon had a good article about...
Eamon Lynch. What was it?
It was about, Rory and Wyndham pushing this, cutthroat tour.
Yeah.
And he was like, who's going to be the person that tells Tiger he can't play because he's not qualified? So this is like one of the things that makes it hard for the tour.
I mean, that would be sabotaging their own product. The product's better if Tiger's in the field.
Here's a question I have. What if, and I hate sponsors exemptions, what if an event could have sponsor exemptions, but if you're on a sponsor exemption, you do not get points towards the relegation qualification point?
That doesn't seem
you can come equitable. In, you can play. What? It's not equitable?
If that's, you win,
that's
if you
what
play
happens
well
to non-members
event.
Now.
If you play well in an event and you win, I think you should. Well, then they should get
you're
that too.
You're not on the tour.
You should get that too. I think if you win the event or you play well, you should get the rewards of that.
Maybe there's a Legends category.
Yeah.
Maybe we could start giving lifetime exemptions. My favorite thing.
No, but that became sort of the rhetoric again.
Hey, I haven't watched all Full Swing yet.
Uh-huh. Check out Full Suede Thoughts, rising up the charts, doing well.
Can you just give me one Zach Johnson nugget? Like one ZJ as Ryder Cup captain. He said that
he wears his hat backwards a lot more than I thought. He's never always wearing his hat backwards. I wrote notes about that. That's sort of okay. I'm trying to think of not the big themes to derail.
Yeah, I don't
this.
Want to spoil anybody's thing.
He calls Justin Thomas Jay Tizzle on multiple occasions. I mean, he's Zach Johnson. He doesn't speak. He's not a good public speaker. That's perfectly fine. A lot of people aren't. That's like the worst. It's the worst platform and medium for him to be. It's like behind the scenes cameras and microphones. Not good. Anyways, there's a lot more in depth analysis on the Full Strength Thoughts, but I figure I'd throw you that little candy bar on that one. Live Golf. Anthony Kim shoots 65. Abe Anser wins in a playoff. Over who was it? Was Paul Casey was in it? Who was the third guy in their playoff? Cam Smith. Good. We watched this morning. It was like in our time zone a little bit towards the end. We watched a good chunk of Live Hong Kong.
Hey, can I?
And the Crushers won the team. The Crushers continue to crush.
I'll tell you what. This time zone with golf is incredible. It's on during prime time.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, you're right.
For the East Coast stuff.
I agree.
I mean, it's on it like right when you want to be watching sports. It's like Sky Sports big event of the night.
Bay Hill?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's awesome. I like it. It's like Kapalua and Sony for us in the East Coast, except almost all the other weeks of the year.
Our friends over here might not like when I say this. Why don't we jam them? Move all the events to the West Coast. Get that primetime golf.
They won't like that at all.
No, they won't.
It was nice. It was nice. But Liv, any reaction to Liv?
I mean,
Scheffler winning, the number one player in the world. I didn't realize he was number one, I guess, but Rahm is not getting points.
You know how, like, first thing in the morning, you've got your best stuff. You're most focused. You got the most brain power you're going to have after that first cup of coffee.
Maybe.
I was watching Liv golf. I don't have a kid around.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm watching Liv golf, and I hadn't locked into Arlo in a while.
Oh, he's not doing him any favors.
Bedlam in Hong Kong.
It's absolute bedlam. Paul Casey is just stupendous, and it is absolute bedlam in Hong Kong. He's just got to dial it down out. No one believes this. Like, give us a basic, like, keep it realistic, man. Keep our feet on the ground with this. He's just not, he's too over the top on that. And it was an interesting sort of, it was an interesting finish, sort of jostle, both on the individual, but primarily on the individual side. It was an interesting enough jostle. Anything that Anthony Kim shooting 65, I mean, making a bunch of more birdies?
This is the road back. The road is going to... And I think, like, people are now... I saw after the first round, people were all over, oh, this is just stupid. Now all the people are like, oh, this is the first big step. Guess what? There's going to be some steps back. It's not... this is a year and a half. Like, if you want to believe in Anthony Kim coming back, you need to give him 2 years. But this was a great moment. This was the fact that he shot 65. That's legitimately showing something.
Something. Finished 50th, I think.
Yeah, not last.
Improved.
Like, improved. He beat your guy, Jay Kokrak.
My God. He did.
Beat Hudson Swafford, guy that was sitting outside of TPC in a tech in a car couple years ago. Beat Phil.
Phil had an 80, is that right? On the
he
first round.
He shot 80 the first round. But this is what you have to, you know, it's a process. And the ability showing the ability to shoot low. I don't care that it was 6,700 yards.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Yeah.
Like no. The 65-65. Yep. 65 in a tournament, 65. And, you know, I saw a story, I think Flushing It had it, that he doesn't even have fitted clubs yet.
Just go to Club Champion, use promo code Fried Egg, and get him 50% off.
So apparently he gets his fitted clubs the next time they play.
Okay.
I mean, when you listen to him talk, it seems, I don't want to like speculate. I don't want to. Well, but when you listen to him talk, it sounds like he was in a very bad place.
Dark place or something. Yeah.
And maybe.
Talks about living life right more than shooting scores.
Yeah.
Walking with his family.
Yeah. And if competitive golf can give him some sort of, I imagine, this is somebody that I grew up watching and enjoyed watching, but I imagine if you are an athlete and people will say, oh, well, you know, you got the money for the insurance thing, but to have like effectively everything that is your existence gone and nothing to do day in, day out, I imagine could lead you to some, you know, dark places.
Yep. That's the live wrap up. Tiger is not going to the Players. News. Tiger no showing the Players. Did not commit. Are we surprised? Some people are surprised. I don't really care too much. It's more like he talked about playing once a month. People presumed he would play at the Players. I don't know. I don't think he's played in a handful of years. Okay with him just playing at the Masters.
This is the last Players. That was an Eamon's piece. This is the last Players he's eligible for.
Really?
Yeah.
I think the Players is been the shine has certainly been taken off Gold Boy, the Players. You don't have all the best players.
Well, the
designated
you have
a lot of the
events.
Signature events, yeah, that everybody's played in together. They haven't gone well. Tiger's kind of like take it or leave it. Priority is not that. So anyways, a blow for sure. PR Open update. Bryce Garnett beats Eric Barnes. I would have liked to seen Eric Barnes win after Bryce. Protecting the field. Bryce
how
Garnett
wins,
is never going to leave the PGA
How many
tour.
Wins is I, that for?
I asked you that. I've you know what he's done the double now?
PR?
He's done the PR and the Corrales Punta Cana Resort.
He's won both of them twice?
Yes. Yes. No, just once.
Just
he's
one.
Done the DR, the Punta Cana, and the Puerto Rico Open. That's the Bryce Garnett double, the slam.
Guy is
he's
just,
got them both the opposite field. He's never leaving the tour. He's gonna have some status, some sort of fledgling peripheral category for the next 10 years. I feel like he's been around forever without really ever having a cup of coffee.
He's a 4A guy.
Opposite
field. He's a classic 4A guy.
He might be a little more than that.
I don't think
he might
so.
Be a lefty one out guy. Comes out right? Like he's in the bigs. But he's not getting...
He's a specialist.
Yes. He's a loogie. Lefty one out guy. He can win the opposite field events and that's it.
It is unbelievable that you can win a couple times.
I had to look it up as soon
but
as he won.
But he's like, I can't remember him ever contending in a tournament of note.
I don't think so. I'm sure someone could find it. Come on. Like, we're talking Sunday. We're not talking about the Thursday leaderboard at like 2:30 at the
I'm
US
saying
Open
like
or whatever.
In a big yeah. tournament, I've never felt like yeah. Bryce Garnett. Yeah. He might win in something like, yeah. you know, Memorial or Bay Hill or
yeah.
Riviera.
Yeah. I get him and Bronson Berggren mixed up.
You can't get those two
LPGA
up.
Bailey Tardy wins overseas. The Kolegaard Classic, it appeared that Stu Sink was going to win, but that's ending after we record this. He's tied with Joe Durant. Why does that make you laugh? Kevin Durant's older brother.
Joe Durant, the guy was a ball striking machine back in the day. If you go back, I think it's like all around driving. I think the guy led it for like 10 straight years.
You know, two pillars upon the foundation of this podcast was built are the Dump in a Box Classic Cologuard. No, we are not pro colorectal cancer. We are just amused by the product's execution. The Dump in a Box Classic and Ho-Sun Choi.
What's going on with him?
He played in the Cologuard Classic.
No!
Yes! He's swirling away, whirling about, hey. Twirling and whirling around. He's in. They did it for catnip, but I mean, come on. He's now 50, apparently. He's got four fingers. And he's playing in the Cologuard Classic in Arizona. He beat some good... He was not Lo Choi. That went to KJ Choi. He beat Scott Verplank, or he tied with Scott Verplank, Fred Couples, and Justin Leonard. And then you have Ho-Sun Choi doing his whirling ball.
Remember when he got into the top 200 in the world?
Vaguely. I mean, this podcast, before it became too popular, we were big Ho-Sun. He was a fisherman who lost a finger, and now he's playing in the Cologuard
Then
Classic.
He got too big. Then he got blocky. He got blocky treatment.
He got,
and we had to drop him.
Yes. He got lightweight blocky treatment. Get into Pebble Beach.
Hey,
he beat David
you know what
Toms.
I mentioned to you today.
Good
when
showing
we were,
for him.
When we were walking the Giants Causeway, I said, you know, we haven't heard from Blocky in a while.
Well, they got him in spring training. He's just getting reps.
You think they're holding them back?
Management.
Do you think
they said
they cut the PR?
Valhalla comes. It's going to become like playoff Jimmy. That's going to be like playoff Blocky when Valhalla rolls around.
Do you think Corbridge was the one that said, hey, shut it off now. We need you for the Corbridge. What is it? The Corbridge
PGA Pro leaderboard or something like that. Unbelievable. I think that does it for this episode. We gave Mateo his love.
Here it is, the Champions Tour website. Ho-Sun Choi returns to America for Champions Tour debut. He must just have turned 50.
Yeah. I immediately got him exemption.
What if he went on that tour and just became like the next Scott Burrell?
Well, you know he's like competing. He's unlike a lot of these guys. Like he wants to, not that some of them don't want to win, but he needs it. He's going for it. Could be that.
T42.
Yeah,
not terrible.
I'm telling you. This wasn't a DFL situation. He made the cut and he finished with a respectable result. So
he beat up on Davis Love.
I don't even know if there was a cut. Don't quote me on the cut part.
There's no cut.
Yeah, there's no cut. Sorry. I was looking at the wrong leaderboard.
DL3. Is DL3 done with the tour now? Or is he still playing?
Let's see. Let's see when we get to Greensboro. Harbortown. I don't think he does that one anymore.
Well, he can't get in the Harbortown. Oh, he could get sponsors.
He played RSM, I want to say. I think he was in the field at the RSM this last fall. All right. That does it for this Monday episode. Check out the Explorations podcast. Check out the Full Swing Thoughts podcast. We got some more. We got a lot of good feedback from some of the people on the show with that and you know, listening. And then Explorations is good. We got some good takes, hopefully providing some insight.
You're saying your takes are good?
No. Some good anecdotes, stories from the road. Takes was the wrong word. But I think we're picking up a lot on this trip, and we want to throw it somewhere, and Explorations is like a good place for that. So subscribe and listen to that. Maybe we'll have some guests here this coming week, too. Try to get some more locals, Northern Irish guests with people around here. Subscribe to that. We'll be back with you on Wednesday. It's gold standard week. Not as gold as before. I don't know, it's 24 carat, there's less carats or whatever it is. But it is gold standard week. We will be back with you on Wednesday to talk about that, react to Jay Monahan's press conference.